We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hockey Talkie. I am Travis. I got Jesse with me over Skype. How's it going, Jesse?
Pretty good. Football team clinched the playoffs.
Nice. Just so much fantasy, really, like fantasy everywhere.
Yeah, it's getting crazy everywhere, basically. But yeah, you know, things are good with me.
Winter I'm sucks, alive.
Yeah, I was going to say, the reason why we haven't had a podcast is our host here.
I had a crazy, crazy virus that would not go away. It like closed my throat up. I couldn't even get like one sentence out without coughing. So I was like, I can't even try a podcast at this point. But healthy enough today to start a podcast. We got a cool one today. We're going to be talking about busts. So those guys that aren't doing anything, they're dead weight bricks is what we usually call them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not doing anything on your rosters. We're going to talk about them, and we're going to kind of talk about rest of season. What should you do with these guys? And then next year. So how does that change your mentality thinking about them for the future? I think that's valuable information.
I would agree.
Sweet, sweet. Good, we're on the same page. Let's start off with telling the people where we are at Fantasy NHL Talk. Our legions of fans already know that, but Twitter, Facebook, we're always answering questions and lots of questions about these people that I'm specifically going to start talking about today. So I think this is a great episode. If you're in the thick of it, we're 30 games in. I think the next podcast you're going to hear from us will be like a mid-season's fantasy award show. We'll get that started up in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. But for today, the trade block is on fire. There are players all over the league that are being talked about being traded. Taylor Hall, Galchenyuk, Hoffman, Falk, like the list is crazy. I just wanted to talk about a couple of these guys and then kind of speculate where they're going. Does that sound good to you, Jesse?
For sure.
Okay, let's talk about Hall right off the bat. Two major destinations that I've heard in the news tons are Avalanche and Edmonton, going back to Edmonton. Is either of those a better landing spot for him? Like one you get to play potentially with McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The other one you're playing with McKinnon and Radnan.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Because Colorado is obviously amazing. I'm just trying to think like what they would do with that top line. I mean, obviously, the Landeskog, Ratton and McKinnon line, does Hall, like, does he de facto slot in there? Does he boot, like, I guess, Landeskog down?
I would think so. I would think he'd boot Landeskog down.
Okay. And then Landeskog goes the second. So, I mean, that's really good. The team's obviously strong. They beat Boston last night for the first regulation loss, which is, like, crazy. So I think that's really good. But obviously you can't.
Edmonton's no joke.
Yeah, it's so close because like Edmonton would be the same idea, right? You would just have Draisaitl and McDavid and then Hall, which is like an all-star game like line. So
yeah.
That's quite insane. But the thing
I think I like
is,
him going to Avalanche more.
Yeah, like I don't really like what I was reading about these trades is that like the Avalanche have the highest like goals for in the league, among the highest. So they don't really need Taylor Hall is what I've been reading, and it makes a lot of sense because
right?
I mean, yeah. even with their stars out, they still scored like tons and tons of goals with McKinnon. So I know they got the cap space, but I'd like to see them use the money for something else, or like maybe more depth players or something. I guess making Hall a forward makes more depth or something as it trickles down, or like defense or something. So I'm not really sure what the best play is there. And then obviously Edmonton needs forwards. So I do like him back. It'd be cool to see it go full circle. And then he ends up back. It'd be super, super trippy. And I think a lot of Edmonton fans would be happy to have him back. So that's pretty cool. But
just off those jerseys that they burned when he left.
Yeah, pretty much.
That jersey is still valuable now.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm just trying to think like, because New Jersey is going to want a lot back. And I'm just trying to think what kind of like things these teams have to offer, obviously. So I'm like, I don't know what Edmonton has to give up to give Hall, get Hall back again. Like, are we talking like firsts and like, I don't know what kind of prospects Edmonton really has.
Like rumors that I heard were kind of a top six forward, a prospect, and then like a first round pick next year.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So you're kind of getting like one of each of the positions. And I think like Avalanche have that in the bag. Like if they send Burakovsky, they're going to make a deep playoff run. So that first pick might not be as valuable if it's coming from Avalanche. So they may think, you know, that's okay, because we're going to make a deep playoff run this year. Give him that pick, give him the prospect, and give him Burakovsky or something like that. And it doesn't seem very much for a MVP.
No, totally. It's an absolute impact player. These players usually don't hit, you know, free agency or trades very often. So you got to like definitely do what you can when it happens. So, wherever he goes, it's going to be super exciting. If I had to pick one, I think Edmonton needs him more, just because I was talking about the scoring. So I really think for their sake, it could go to Edmonton. But obviously, Hall in a Colorado jersey with all those guys would be insane. So,
you know, as a Hall owner in our league of record, I want him to play in Edmonton, because I want to chisel those McDavid, Leon Draisaitl power play points.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah.
They're running the league, so.
Yeah, like immediately Hall goes there. He knocks Chase on out of the top power play, which he shouldn't be there anyway. And then it's just going to be disgusting.
That would be
and
nice.
And then Hall, Hall should be like rejuvenated, hopefully, and, you know, wants to play and stuff. So, it's crazy exciting. I was hoping, well, not hoping, but I thought Boston would be making more of a play, because I feel like Boston really wants to win the cup this year. And I thought that they would make kind of a thing, because I could see him playing on the second line with like Krejci and stuff. And then like there would actually be a pretty sick team. So that's like my other kind of thought. But I don't know, Boston, they're like a try-hard team. They don't really need a lot, I guess. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen there. But I kind of thought they'd make a play, just like get rid of like, I don't know, Heinen in a first and I don't know, another young guy or something. Because basically the Devils just need young guys. Like that's the whole point of their roster now. It's just get guys to grow with Hughes and Hersher and then just become a dominant team in the next 5 years kind of thing.
Is that the worst case scenario? He stays in New Jersey?
He can't stay.
You don't think so? That was one of the spots. Like they're saying he still could re-sign. Like it's not.
He still could re-sign. But I think that if I'm the GM, I just move him, honestly. And just get so much young. Because like you can't risk the Tavares, right? Where he just
leaves
for nothing, right? You can't just lose. And Hall's worth so much as it is right now. And you don't really need him long-term anyway. So
yeah, he's not playing super great or anything.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, I mean, the games I've watched and the things I read on like New Jersey forums and stuff, people talking about this guy is like saying he's not really, you know, earning it or something. So
he's been in the news a couple times, like the booing fans thing and stuff. Like,
yeah,
he's a little distraught playing in New Jersey right now. So yeah, get him out of there. Send him to Edmonton, please. That's who I want Taylor Hall to go to. That'll be like money in the bank for me if Taylor Hall goes to Edmonton. I think I would just, because the people in front of me in the league right now are the Draisaitl owner and the McDavid owner. So imagine if I had Hall like chiseling points from there. Okay, let's move on to some other guys here. These guys aren't as big names, but they still have impact wherever they go. Maybe. I said Galchenyuk on the trading block. I was saying this to you before the podcast, Jesse, if he can't play in Pittsburgh and get points, I don't have any faith in him going anywhere else. There's nowhere else better that he could play.
Nope. He had the first few weeks with Crosby. He's had the last basically month since Crosby's been out with Malkin and hanging out. So obviously he can't crack a top six or do anything. He's just not a player. And as the theme of the episode, he is a bust. He was a third overall draft pick. And all I got to say is props to Montreal for getting him out of there and getting Max Domi.
Yeah, that was great, right?
So as much as I flame Bergerman and I still think he's a terrible GM, that was a rare stroke of genius.
Yeah.
Because now, yeah, like, Yeah, Galchenyuk, he's done. I don't know what the work ethics there. He's a bottom six guy at best on his team. And that's even if you want. The funny thing is his contract ends up this year. So, I mean, he's going to get like renegotiated for like a $1 million probably somewhere. Like, honestly. Yeah.
And it's going to be like a rebuild team. Like, it's going to be someone like New Jersey that's going to take a shot on him and say, hey, come play with the young guys. If you can't play with the young guys, then you have no spot at all.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I was thinking like Ottawa or something. It's just gonna be like, whatever, I'll throw $1 million at you, Galchenyuk. I'll give you a prove it year kind of thing.
That's and what they maybe did to like declare, right?
Yeah, yeah. In that's Ottawa, what you do.
And it's working out, so.
Yeah, you just pick up these randos and then hopefully they show up and do something. So, but yeah, I don't care about Galchenyuk. I mean, like I said, he could get, but the thing is like, where else could he get traded that would inflate his value? Like, that's the thing. Even if you got traded to Colorado, he's not going to play with anyone that matters. So he's like useless there. Or same thing. If he got traded to Edmonton, he's maybe Edmonton would be the only choice. But
it's got to be a young team, like a rebuilding squad. I mean, he could go to LA. They could sign him for 3 years for dirt cheap and just help the rebuild, I guess.
Yeah. Basically, he's out of fantasy relevance for the rest of the year for sure. And
he's on a rebuild team for sure.
And I still even think next year you can't draft him. You just let it go, and maybe he's a waiver wire pickup. So it's a bummer. He had a lot of hype around him. He had that 30 goal season in Montreal. You know, he looked kind of like a decent player, and he's just busted out hard.
Yeah, ever since then. Okay, a couple more guys. Zucker. People were talking about Zucker being trade bait because I guess Minnesota they started picking it up lately.
That's like, I'm surprised you mentioned it. Yeah, because they won a bunch in a row, and they're actually looking, well, not looking good, it's the Wild, but they've been obviously winning games, so.
So, like, they're thinking that Zucker might go somewhere. He could be an interesting piece. He's more of a depth forward, but he plays top-line minutes in Minnesota, mm-hmm. so someone might like that. You won't cost as much for Zucker as it would for, like, the Hall or other guys on this list, so that's a nice pickup for someone.
Oh, Zucker is a great pickup, yeah.
Hoffman's another guy that's been coming up lately. What do you think about Hoffman being traded?
They've been talking about trading him since, like, last year. So, I don't know what they're going to do.
Like, before he played his first game, he was already being talked about traded?
After the year ended kind of thing.
Okay.
That they were going to move him for something. I'm not really sure what the...
I guess they're just paying him a lot for a second line left wing behind Huberto.
Yeah, because he's basically like a power play specialist at this point. So he gets the top power play. He snipes goals there all the time.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic player. So wherever he goes, it's like super exciting for him because he just, like, what has he got? He's got 11 goals, 9 assists. He has 20 points in 28 games. So he's not really lighting it up like he did last year.
But that's still great. Like, he's second line guy.
Yeah.
He's not playing with Barkov or anything, so you got to give him some credit there. You know who really needs a good left wing? The Dallas Stars.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else there. I thought you were going to say, like, the Edmonton Oilers.
Dallas, because Jamie Benn is on that left wing with Sagan. Just put Hoffman in there. Get Jamie Benn to the second line. Then you get Sagan, Hoffman, and Radulov.
There you go. I'm a huge Hoffman fan. I think he should be playing 18 minutes a night, getting lots of shots, getting everything. So I was a huge fan of this guy back in Ottawa, watching him and Duchesne play together and stuff like that. So I don't know why they would trade him, but I get it because, you know, goal scorers are super valuable and you can get something out of them. Florida's not exactly... Well, they're kind of like...
They're doing good.
They're like, yeah, they're doing okay.
Like, they are in a playoff spot, so that's...
Yeah. I just don't know what they want back. Like, what do they think improves their team more than Hoffman?
Probably defense. To shore up their defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they would do. Hoffman's more valuable as the forward on their team, I think, than what they could get in return. Like, that's what you're thinking, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. Like, you're just going to lose a goal scoring spot unless you got, like, you think you have players coming up that are going to usurp him or whatever like that. And I get that in the future for sure. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll especially left wing. Left wing's hard to find. So I think keep him.
I would just keep him. But I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. He's obviously worth a lot, but just, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know what you want to do with the rewards kind of thing or your return. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I have definitely heard that people want, or the teams have been trying to trade Hoffman for a while. So I am curious to see.
I think left wing is so valuable, man. But who knows? I'm not a GM. A couple defense here that have been supplanted as the number one guys on their team for power plays and number one defensive pair. Justin Falk and then Shane Gostisbehere.
Mm.
So two guys that were number one power plays, number one defensive pairs, fallen hard out of favor because of like guys like Provorov in Philly and then Dougie Hamilton coming over in Carolina. What are these guys? These guys are supposed to go somewhere else. They could be a good piece, like, for defensive depth that we were just talking about, maybe even Florida, like we were just talking about. Any interest in those guys? Like, if they get to another spot, would you be interested in picking them up for fantasy, or?
Well, Falk's in St. Louis now, so he's just sort of.
Oh, right. Yeah, what am I talking about?
Yeah.
But he still is not getting what he needs to.
No,
he's not getting the ice time there.
Yeah, so they're just going to use him as a. Like, he just has to play defense now. So that's basically what his role is. It'd be like, just, you know, work on your defense kind of thing. So. Yeah, so he's pretty much done. But Gostisbehere is a very interesting one because he needs to be traded. Things I've, like, read on, like, the forums and Philly stuff is that a lot of people say that teams just figured him out and just they know how to deal with what he does now. And then,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's just super ineffective anymore on the power play and all that kind of stuff. So he's just pretty much done.
Like, they figured out that Ovechkin shot from the side and they just, that's the only thing they block on him now.
Yeah, essentially, it's just, yeah, you just got to adapt, get better, or just be so good at your thing that it doesn't matter, like Ovi style.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he just hasn't, yeah. So they're saying that's a big thing that's happened is that they really got the read on the power play with him and that he's just super ineffective on the power play after that massive season. So you take that with a grain of salt. Of course, I'm just reading what random people say as well, but I trust most of these people because they watch like the 82 games and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're big Philly fans.
yeah, exactly. Right. I don't really have time to, well, not time. It's just I don't watch, I don't have like Die Hard where I watch 82, I don't even watch 82 Caps games. Like, I mean, so it's like very, very hard. So yeah, that's the one thing I read about that. He should go. Philly needs help with forwards still. So
yeah, they need some depth.
Yeah, they just need some players. They got really good young forwards, obviously. Like, Konechny is kicking butt this year. And they got, like, the Frost guy and all these young guys, Lindblom and stuff. So I think their future is pretty bright. But they still need help. So I think Ghost, yeah, he's going to go somewhere for sure. I don't think he's worth much anymore, which is kind of a bummer for them. But we'll see what they get back. But
yeah, you're definitely selling low at this point, I guess, right, on him?
Yeah, you just basically send him to a team like Ottawa or something again. You just send him to, like, a young rebuildish team and just be like, what can we do with this guy? We got like a power play quarterback that can help us for now kind of thing. So
here, let me make a trade. I'll make a trade right now. Two guys we talked about on the list. Galchenyuk from Pittsburgh going to Philly for Gostisbehere coming back.
It's definitely possible. I think
they would do it because they're like arch enemies.
Yeah, that'd be tough but conference trade.
That's an interesting trade, right? Because
that's kind of what the tier defense we're looking at, yeah.
And then Philly could use like another forward that could blow up, right? He'd give someone else some depth. He'd play with Couturier and Voracek maybe on the second line.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Maybe I am a GM. Maybe I could be a GM.
Yes, do it.
Sweet. Here, let's before we go into the bus, let's talk about some injuries quick here from the last couple of days and some guys coming back. The big ones, Avalanche hit with two injuries. Makar was hurt last night. There's no update on his time frame. We're waiting till Monday to hear about what's going on with him. That would be a huge blow for the Avalanche. And then Grubauer as well left the game last night, but then came back as the backup to finish the game. So they're saying that's not like a very bad injury. He just came back from a previous injury. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I said that's good then. If he came back to the bench, it means that, you know, he'd still go out there kind of thing,
if they needed. So hopefully it's just something day-to-day. Yeah. Monday, we're going to find that as well. Bergeron back, full practice, full skating. Monday, I think Boston plays, but he's supposed to be back this week. So that's a huge, huge sigh of relief because Bergeron's kind of always Mr. Glass, and you don't know when he's going to be playing, when he's going to be healthy. So he is coming back. Get him ready for your lineup for this week. You're the resident Crosby owner in our league. Any heard anything?
There's been no news. Absolutely nothing. I look all the time and it's just status quo.
Still that last 6 weeks for his surgery recovery. End of December is what they're saying.
Yeah, the last game he played was November 9th. Obviously today is December 8th. So it's been a month. So they said 4 to 6 weeks. So I'm guessing after Christmas, I guess, 2 more weeks, if all goes well, then we'll see him. There's nothing. Yep.
First round pick that's not playing, that hurts your fantasy team. But you know he's going to light it up when he comes back.
He should be healthy. So that's good.
Your Capitals lost Backes for a while. Or sorry, Backstrom.
I was like, oh, I don't miss Backes.
Backstrom has been out for a little bit. The Capitals have a very easy road trip on the out the West right now, and they wanted to have Backstrom back, but they're not worried about the road trip is what I've been reading, so they're going to let him rest for another week. They're going to not bring him on the road trip for this week, and then he'll rest up and be 100% even better when he comes back. Konechny was also another one. Philly went out from yesterday's game, and they said there'll be another update on Monday. So Monday for Makar and Konechny, wait to hear what's going on with those guys. Don't get rid of them yet because they're having great years. You ready to get into the bus?
Yes, totally.
So I got a list of the bus. We're going to talk about this year, and then we'll talk about next year. So if this guy's going to just fail the rest of the year, we're going to drop him. And then next year, what's that going to do to his draft value? And what are we thinking for next year? Is this a permanent thing or a bounce back for next year, right? And I'm going to mix it up this time. I'm starting with goalies. Usually we go like forwards, defense, goalies. We're starting with goalies today.
All right, sweet. I'm ready.
Okay, first one. Number one bust this year, Matt Murray. He has been struggling, not only with injuries, but with stopping the puck. He's won 10 out of his 20 starts, so he's a 500 goalie, and you want a lot more from a goalie you drafted in the top four on a lethal Pittsburgh team. What do you think for Matt Murray rest of the season and then next year?
I think rest of the season he hits the 30 wins, so he'll get 20 more over the next 60 games, and then that'll be whatever. Going forward...
Viable fantasy goalie then, rest of year?
It's not awful, but I mean, there are probably a little bit of options. I'm just comparing, there's some guys that I've seen that are on the same kind of records or like basically 1 and 2 kind of thing. But I don't know, man. Murray's an enigma, dude.
Would you rather have Matt Murray or Khudobin?
Oh, God.
I know, right? There's a guy that's splitting but getting wins.
I mean, Crosby comes back soon, so I guess that's good for Murray. Of the last, 8 games, he's only started 3 of them.
Yeah.
So they're definitely giving Jerry a lot of starts, and Jerry's been looking way better.
Those back-to-back shutouts earlier in the week.
Yeah, goalies are tough, man, because as soon as one gets good, you just lose your spot. It's not like a forward thing where some guy in the third line just plays really good and you're like, oh, nice. This guy's doing so well. But we're not going to change anything up. If your backup just wins every game and is destroying you in stats, you will slowly, disappear from relevance in the team. Murray is never considered to be a strong goalie to begin with. So
every starter in the league was a backup.
I like that.
Right?
That is actually the most motivational thing I've ever heard in my life, to be honest.
There you go.
That's like a poster. Well, true, that's though, so right? good.
They rise up. They have to learn, and then they supplant whoever they're playing for. So, like, I think Murray is just a very, like, there's goalies that I want to back up, like Pekarinen, because I'm going to have a hard time supplanting that guy. And you kind of know what's going on there. But Murray, to me, is not that wall that Rene is. Like, you have to basically just, like, walk past Matt Murray to get the job. Whereas Rene, you'd have to fight to try to, like, supplant that goalie, right?
Yeah, you got to, like, earn it for that. Yeah. Like, even with Saros, like, wins 8 in a row, they're still playing, like, you know, Rene still is winning games, too. So,
but being the backup for Murray, it's like, oh, well, I could probably win that job if I tried.
This is a hard one for me. Like, I don't really know what you do. I mean, obviously, I don't think Murray's being traded this year or anything like that. And I'm sure Murray will start in the playoffs and all that stuff. And he'll finish with, you know, probably 30 wins, 32 wins, I'm guessing.
If they make the playoffs.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. It depends how much they chop.
They're not in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, because I know when Crosby comes back, they're going to win a ton of games. Like, I know that for sure. He's going to be so healthy and dominant, and it's going to be crazy. But will it? Oh, man. That's so tough. I'm actually, like, a loss for words for this one, honestly. Like, I don't know what to do with Matt Murray. I just don't. I owned him last year, and he, like, you know, he was okay. He paid off. He got the 30-whatever-ish wins. It was fine.
Yeah.
Like, what did he end up last year? He had 29 wins in 50 games, which is really good.
Yeah.
So that was fine. He's sort of on pace. Let's say he's on pace for, like 23 wins this year.
It's pretty low.
Which is low, very low. Basically, it's what you believe the Crosby factor will do. That's really what it all comes down to. If you think this team, when fully healthy, can just win the majority of games, which they could, then you obviously hang on to him. If you believe it's because Matt Murray's, like, individual skill is going to prevail, then probably not.
Yeah. Especially, and it depends how many goalies you have too, right? If he's your number one, I'm looking to upgrade. Like, I need to trade or trade my picks or something next year to upgrade Matt Murray. If he's my second goalie, I'm feeling great if he's my third.
Oh, third. You're laughing. Yeah.
Yeah. Third. I want that 23 wins or whatever.
But yeah, sure. That's perfect.
The second, I'm humming and hawing a little bit. First goalie, I'm looking to upgrade. He's not the guy that's going to carry me to the championship. Right.
Yeah. No, going forward is going to be interesting. I'm not sure what Pittsburgh wants to do. I always hear that Pittsburgh wants to trade some of their backups because they have decent backups, and they're trying to get some stuff out of it, which is obviously good news for Murray.
Yeah, I heard one of them was going to Toronto because Toronto doesn't actually have a backup.
Yeah, I think it was DeSmith or something they were saying. Is it possible to go there? Because obviously, they have no backup at all, so they need something. I don't know. It's like, I feel like they got loyalty to Murray. You know, they won cups with him. He was like a rookie. He had two cups basically before he was even like not a player.
Before he played a full season, he had two cups.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he did really good in the playoffs. I'm sure he's a nice guy. So I still think he's going to be the starter next year. But I think statistically, he's probably still going to have a brutal season, and he's got a long way to go if he wants to hit 30 wins this year.
Yeah.
There's like, 50 games left, and so even if he starts half of them, 25, he has to win every single one of them.
Yeah, so, exactly, right? That's an uphill battle that I'm not playing this year.
Yeah,
next year I'm probably steering away. He's at the back of the top 10 goalies in the league, I think, like maybe 10 or right around there, and I don't want a piece of that early. I'm gonna wait, and I'm gonna try to get him at value later.
Yeah, I might even push him lower, to be honest. Like, he's like a 16th team goalie for me kind of thing.
It's even worse,
like a 13 to 16 type of thing. I still think he's gonna be a starter next year, but the rest of the year, I think if you can definitely move him, that would be great, and pick someone up that's like hot or something. If you can get like a Kemper or some boring goalie like that, that's something to look into. But long term, yeah, I don't know. Pittsburgh is just so old. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And like, they're not doing anything to try to fix that. Like, their team is so just depleted. So,
well, let's talk about these other two goalies I have down, because they're probably in the same breath that you're the same thought process you're going for right now. John Gibson, he's the young guy. The team's old. He's got 8 wins and 21 starts. He has missed a couple games with some illness and stuff coming around, but still 8 wins and 21 starts. Fantastic goalie. Great for goals against average. Great for shots. They're not going to win. What are we doing with Gibson this year? Are we just going to ride out the L's and hope for that good goals against average and the save percentage?
Yeah, or if you're in a league, if you're in a league that counts those, then of course keep them for those kind of tangibles. But if you're in a points league where, you know, the wins are important, yeah, you got to cut them. It's so brutal, because like, I had Gibson in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you
did. He was winning all those games and he looked great, and the Ducks looked like they could score goals and stuff like that. And then of course things come back to earth, and it's just tragic to see probably the best goalie in the NHL with 8 wins. Like, that's insane. Like, that's actually disgusting.
Yeah, you know what? He might be like how Carey Price was before, like just phenomenal talent, terrible team playing in front of him.
Yeah, he's just mired in this like awful, awful, awful team. So, but I mean, that's the sad thing about goalies is like, your team is important. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you can't keep him. He's probably, you know, one of the best players in the NHL talent wise, but like, it doesn't matter. He's still going to get scored on. The team provides no run support for him ever. So, cut him. Next year, maybe Ducks make some stuff. Maybe they pick up more young guys. Maybe the team moves forward a year again. He's always worth a draft pick.
A late one, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not fine. You can always draft Gibson. He's always going to be... No one's taking that guy's job for the next 10 years at least. So, I'd say he's like... His future outlook is obviously great. It's just, they just got to see what the team can do around them. So, I don't know. I'm just like depressed thinking about John Gibson, and I feel so bad for the guy. Like,
yeah, he needs lots of help.
Like, I want him to win the Vezina on like a losing team. Like, I wonder if that's even possible to just like finish the year with 16 wins. And then
would you have like insane save percentage and stuff?
Yeah, you got like 940 save and like all this. Oh my God. If you got Gibson, obviously cut him. And if you're in a keeper league, then I guess you can keep him. If you have lots of keepers, obviously. But
he's a long-term play for me. Like, he's a
like
3 or 4 years.
Like, that's dynasty tier play. Like, you hang on to him for 6 years from now, and like, I don't know, Comtois and all these guys are like 24 and just like potentially good players. Raquel or all these guys are like Getzlaf's long gone, etc. So.
Yeah,
that's a tough one, because I was gonna, I mean, for this year, yeah, he's for sure cuttable if you can get any goalie that's gonna play that has a chance. Even like backups are, might be even better at this point than Gibson, honestly. Like, if you can pick up, you know, like Jerry, like I just mentioned, or any of these high teams backups like Samsonov's or
Jake Allen's been getting shutouts and starts.
Yeah, see, there you go, there's hope,
right? What about Corey Crawford? Corey Crawford, I know you really liked him before the season, because you always say that he's like the de facto number one there. Mm. There's no one going to come and supplant him. They got Robin Lehner there. That's stealing starts. Crawford is 6 in 16 starts.
Yeah,
He's a bust. Is he done?
Yeah, I think his career is over. I think he's done. He's always had those crazy vertigo issues. He's not getting healthier. Lerner is an absolutely stud of a goalie. So
he's great.
So I think I don't know if Crawford's in a contract year or anything like that, but for the rest of the year, yeah, Crawford is cuttable for sure. If they want any chance of making the playoffs, they got to play Lehner more.
And 100%.
They might realize that. So of the last 50 games, maybe hopefully Lehner starts like 35, 40 of them and just like, do the, you know, Islanders thing, play the best goalie you got and hope for your team to sort of go around it. So
I'm not drafting Crawford next year.
Oh, he's like, undraftable for sure.
Yeah, I would just say no. If he comes up on the list, I would just say I'm going with like the backup Hedobin. or something like that, or Kasakainen or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
Just getting out of that one. Okay, let's jump through some defensemen here. There's a lot of interesting guys on this list. Aaron Ekblad. He has 15 points in almost 30 games, so a point every other game. Florida is very weird. When they brought in Yandel took a lot of that power play time, and he gets those points more than Ekblad now. Is Ekblad a draftable player next year? For the rest of this year, I'm saying I'm putting him on the bench. I'm not playing him because he doesn't have that power play potential, like to get a bunch of points on the power play. But next year and going forward, he's still very young. I like young guys like that in Dynasty and stuff. What do you think about Ekblad?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, a serviceable defenseman. Obviously, he's just not going to get the points as long as Yandel's there. Yandel's more of a, obviously, power play guy, and he gets to play with Barkov and all the fun guys, and so that's just free points. That's not a bad 15 and 30 is okay for a guy who gets no power play time. So, like, I don't hate that. But, of course, is, you know, his ceiling is very limited. Well, he just plays on that second unit and all those other things because, you know, Florida doesn't have any real depth on that team, really. So,
yeah,
going for the rest of the year, I mean, you can't really play him too much. He's going to end up with like 35 points, probably, I'm guessing, for the rest of the year kind of thing.
I guess this is more of a future question. What do you think about future for him?
I still think he's a bust till Yandel's gone.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care. Like, he can turn into like a Norris trophy, whatever type defenseman. Block all the shots, become a god, but he's not getting any points on that team because it's just too bad of a team that you have to be on that number one power play unit. That's the only way.
You really have to be on that number one power play unit. Like the second unit, who is it playing here? Vetrano,
it's like heinous.
Like, there's no one on that second unit. Trocheck, I guess, would be your best player.
Yeah,
that's pretty abysmal to try to, you know, make a name for yourself as a young defenseman.
Yeah, no, if you're in like a super deep league that drafts like, you know, six defense, of course he's playable and stuff like that. But most points leagues or most leagues only draft like maybe three, four defensemen kind of thing. And there's so many good young defensemen out there that get points and stuff like that. So he's just, he can't be started. So,
well, especially if there's guys like Fox or those like young rookies that are just blowing up.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many young defense.
Yeah, Ekblad. And I don't see like a clear path for him to be relevant either.
I just think he's just going to stay as like a good defenseman, and he's going to be stuck at around 30 to 40 points for life, really, honestly.
Yeah.
And then till they decide what to do with his power play time, basically. There's just, as sad as it is, defensemen need power play time. You can't rely on 5-on-5 points. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. So it's not really a bust, but because hopefully you didn't spend any draft picks on this guy knowing it, but...
Right, yeah. Like, that's true.
But rest of season, he's going to be obviously, like, very low points. So,
yeah.
And if you're in a keeper league, I wouldn't keep this guy. I wouldn't do anything with this. Like, he's, like, dynasty, even if it was, like, 10 years. Like, Jesse won Ekblad for the next 10 years. I mean, honestly, no. Like,
yeah.
At least six of them are going to be, like, the same. So...
Okay, let's keep moving along here. Got... Oliver Ekman-Larsson, great defenseman, plays for Arizona. I almost said Phoenix there. He's got 11 and 31, the top power play and the top pair in Arizona.
He's been getting more points lately, which is good.
And they a bunch of those points have come in the last five games or so.
Yeah, because he was a mega bust for so long. And
you saw Goligoski points like all the time.
Yeah, that's all you saw was Goligoski. And I was like, wow, did he lose his job to Goligoski? Like, is this real life? Like, how does this happen? So, yeah, that was crazy. But I don't know. I don't like anyone on Arizona. So if you're on Arizona that isn't a goalie to me, I think you're undraftable, to be honest. Like, Kessel's undraftable to me next year.
But doesn't that number one spot and the number one power play have some sort of clout? Like, That deserves a draft.
Oh, man. I would have to be in a deep defense league to draft Ekman-Larsson. And I know that sounds so weird, but I just don't want any single player on that team. I don't think anyone on that team beats 60 points this year.
Well, I'm pretty sure we said that at the beginning of the year. Like, I don't think anyone gets... Kessel might get close.
Yeah, I thought Kessel would get 70 points, but after watching him play and seeing how this team dynamic works, he's going to be like a lowest point total of his career. Like, it's going to be 55 points or something, 56 points. It's going to be embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I don't care that he's on the top unit. I just think he's a bust, no matter what.
That's what I think too. We're on the same page. What about Tyson Barrie? Tyson Barrie has 12 and 31 games. Top power play, top pair again in Toronto.
Yeah, so now he finally has the top, which is good. They finally realized that, you know, this guy's an option. Obviously, Babcock's gone, so like, it's not just ride the same five guys and smash your head against the wall and hope for success. Obviously, Riley was like a revelation last year, had tons of points.
Yeah.
Been slowing down a bit this year, obviously. So I think rest of the year, Barry's a good option. I think they're going to give him more chances to get the power play points. So I think he's okay. Hopefully you didn't pay too much for this guy. Yep. I remember saying at the beginning of the year, like, as it was, I thought he was going to get like nothing because Riley was just going to steal his points. And obviously that was pretty much correct. But with the coaching change, they're going to use Barrie a lot more. So I'm fine with Barrie for the rest of the year, to be honest. I think he'll be okay.
And I like Barrie the next year. And next year, I like him even more because I think they'll be settled down after all this Babcock stuff and the roster moves and the salary crunch. Like, they still need to do some moves. But I think next year, they're going to be settled down. And I think Barrie will be back to his 55, 60-point defenseman, which I think is great.
I hope Barrie just goes, to be honest.
Well, he had the chance in Colorado. Right? Like, are you talking about traded?
Yeah. Because I
thought you were talking about, like, going ham. I was talking to him.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I love, like, yeah. Like, I've been a huge Barrie fan, obviously, since Colorado. He's been super cool. But, yeah, like, I'm saying, like, his contract ends this year. He's going to want some money. Obviously, this season is going to, like, kill his arbitration, like, potential.
Yeah.
So that's something to look at. But yeah, I just don't know if they could keep him. I'm curious what they plan to do with that team.
Their like, salary crunch is crazy.
Yeah, like, they can't just have another guy at like $9 million. Like, you can't win with three forwards and one defenseman at like $9 million, and like, you need
right
players. So I thought he'd be gone, but there is a chance, I guess, he could stay. And if he stayed, then for sure I like him next year, because they're going to be like, we need to utilize this guy like a lot more. Like, he's going to be
there. That'll be telling, right? If he stays, they'll say, we need to use you. Or if they're not going to stay, then he's not going to get used. So that's.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what their agent and stuff is going to talk about. I'm sure he's going to tell the same thing and be like, unless you use me as a top guy, like, see you later. I'll get $10 million on another team, kind of thing.
Yep.
So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I really don't see him staying. That's the thing. So I really like Barrie next year because I think he's gone. I just don't know why he would stay in Toronto.
Barrie for Hoffman.
Yeah. Seriously. Anything. Get right? forwards.
That's
get,
not bad.
Get, and, yeah, it's good. I think that's a pretty good side trade. Yeah, I would agree. I would do that.
Okay, one more defense and then we'll get into some forwards here before we wrap it up. This one's an easy one. We've talked about this one before. John Klingberg has 10 in 25 games. Top power play, top defensive pair again in Dallas. I like keeping him for the rest of the year. I think he's going to rebound. I think he's going to have a huge rebound once everyone's healthy on that team and playing how they're supposed to be playing. And for years to come, I like him. I would take him to put into my number one defense spot. But I'm kind of a little bit of a Klingberg truther. Like, I liked him a little more than everyone else had in the last couple of years. What do you think, Jesse?
I think Klingberg is obviously great skilled. I am concerned about Dallas long term. I don't know where this team goes. I don't know. Pavelski's been, you know, whatever. And then, like, Ben's been a huge. Oh my God, there's so many problems with this team right now. So it's like really underperforming. I don't think Klingberg is the issue, though. So I think he'll hit the 40, 45 points this year. So I think he still will be okay. But yeah, future going forward, of course. Yeah. Like, you keep him. He's amazing. He's a great player. I just got to see what they do with this team around him because it is so stale. So I am a little wary on that. So I wouldn't call him individually a bust. It's more of like the team has been a bust and he just doesn't get to get these power play assists and these goals and stuff like that he used to be able to. So,
and he was injured for a little bit, came back and then had that 4-point night.
Yeah, the biggest thing that's concerning me looking at his stats here is that he has really low power play time lately. Like, there was a game in St. Louis where he played 23 minutes with 0 minutes of power play time. And that
was only five. The Hesekainen effect.
Yeah, and that was only 5 games ago. So Hesekainen, like, okay, what does daily faceoff say? Like, where does he play? Is Hesekainen in the top unit? Like, what's going on with him? Let's see.
No, they put Klintberg in the top unit, but Hesekainen gets the second, which is pretty okay.
He's got Hintz, Pavelski versus Radulov, Yarmark, Sagan. Yeah, so they're actually kind of not that far off. So I guess it's just maybe luck that his unit's performing a little bit more.
And he was getting, like, Hesekainen was getting the power play when Klingberg was injured. So
yeah, for sure. Like, that's definitely padded his stats. No, going forward, Klingberg's fine. It's just he might not hit 60 points until they do a little more tweaking. I think that 1 year he had, like, the great year last year or something like that is might be an anomaly. Oh, sorry, not last year. 2 years ago when he got 67 points.
Yeah.
And then last year he got 45.
He definitely is, like, the offensive defenseman like that. Like the Carlson. He's not the stay-at-home Sutter or Suter. He's definitely an offensive guy. So that's what he needs to... That's how he needs to play. If they give him, like, the tough defensive assignments, that's not what he needs there. He needs to just wheel and deal, and he'll be behind the other team's goalie, like, skating around or something, like, way out of position. But that's kind of how he plays. I like him going forward, too. This year, I'll keep him on my teams, let him ride it out, see what he can do. No need to panic yet for John Klingberg. He still has a bright future.
Nope,
okay, ready for some forwards?
All right, what do we got?
Okay, I got forwards here, and the first two here, I'm just going to group them kind of together because they're the same kind of player. They got Johnny Gaudreau, and we got William Nylander, the top units of everything on their teams. They're number one power play, number one line, get the big minutes. Both of them, surprisingly, have 23 points in 31 games, exactly the same point totals.
Ooh.
So these guys, rest of year, I mean, no one's going to be dropping them because everyone's hoping for the big turnarounds. Both teams have the capabilities to make turnarounds, Toronto and Calgary, both high-powered offenses. My question for these guys is more next year. What are we thinking for Gaudreau? Is he going to still maintain that, like, point per game caliber in the draft order? And then Nylander was kind of starting to push up a little bit, maybe a couple rounds ahead. Is he still worth, like, a third or a fourth?
Yeah, I think Nylander can move down the draft a bit more or stuff like that. I think that's just what he is. I think Nylander is just a high 60 point player. I think that's just as good as it's going to get for him. So
really,
I
on
have
that
no problem
line in Toronto?
Yeah, I just don't think there's just enough for him to just, there's not enough to go around kind of thing. So, but I think, you know, Nylander's doing good. He'll be fine. That's like 23 and 31 is pretty good for a guy that you probably drafted, like, you know, eighth round or something. So,
yeah.
I have no problems with Nylander. Gaudreau is definitely the more concerning one. Again, not to sound like a broken record, I was reading Flames forums because I was looking at Gaudreau as well. And same thing, the guy says that a lot of people, or not the guy, but lots of people say that, again, people learn what Gaudreau does. He skates in, he does, like, a little button hook kind of thing. And, like, they're saying, like, a lot of people just, you know how to cover him now and know how to deal with him and know how to, like, get him out of there. So that's what's really killing his even strength points. I don't know what's going on with Gaudreau. It kind of freaks me out because a lot of people on the Flames were, like, calling for him to be traded and stuff like that already. So
really,
like, yeah. So, like, I don't think he'll be traded by any means, but it is a little concerning. Monahan's been having a down year as well. So, like, lots of the guys he usually plays with,
and a little finishing. Bit like the coaching change has revitalized, like, the whole Calgary team a little bit. They've won the last three or four, I guess. And they've Monahan and Gaudreau have been on the score sheet. So that's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you can't get rid of these guys.
No, yeah, for sure. They're uncuttable. But I still would say Gaudreau is in boss territory. I mean, he's a guy who had 99 points last year, for Christ's sake. So, I mean, like,
right.
You definitely wasted a top two pick on this guy. And that's, you're not winning. I doubt there's a lot of Gaudreau owners that are winning their league. So,
So what about next year then for Gaudreau? he was starting to trend towards the first round. Like the end of the first round, people were like, Goudreau's a solid pick here. Definitely in the second round.
Yeah, second for sure. I mean, end of the first, you could easily make a case for drafting it. I mean, a 99-point guy, I mean, this is a course. Like,
so has he fallen like third or fourth rounder now?
Oh, man. Like, maybe? Like, honestly, it's like...
He's a small guy, too. Like, they run him so much. If you ever watch a Flames game, like, they just send out their biggest dude to, like, oh, go hit Goudreau. Like, he's going to be fast, but just close off the board so he can't get by you.
Yeah, he's getting
hit all the time.
Yeah. Like, he has 5 points in his last 6 games. So, you know, he's turned it around-ish there. Yep. It looks like they cut his minutes like crazy. He's been skating, like, 15, 13 minutes. The highest being
that's
around
not
18.
Enough to get points.
Yeah, so that's pretty rough. His shooting percentage is pretty bad too. It's 6%. I think rest of the year he'll be fine.
Down year?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those rough down years. So I think he'll get the 70 points this year, and I think he's a guy you can get at super value next year. Yeah, because all the seasons were like really good. You know, he get 61 points, then 84 points, and then 99 points. So he was like trending up, right? Like looks really, really good. I think this just might be a blip season. I mean, he's a -9 too. He's just like, he is shooting a lot though. He's got 3 shots per game, which is pretty sick. So it's not like for lack of trying.
Let's just temper next year's expectations and let's put him down to the third or fourth round and be pleasantly surprised if he rebounds to that 85 points. That sound fair?
That's what it's looking at for sure.
Right? Like that's what I would like to do, but I don't want anyone else to draft him like super high. Like guaranteeing those 95 points games, seasons, sorry.
Yeah, it's just one of the things where it shows like there's guys who can be consistent and there's guys that can have these things. So this is the thing you got to worry about in Goudreau, apparently. I thought Goudreau would be a consistent 85 plus guy for the next like 5 years, but this shows you that he can and is susceptible to these crazy, crazy downstreaks, which should make you lower him in drafts for sure. Again, if I'm drafting next year and see Goudreau finishes with 75 points this year, honestly, I probably won't even draft him. I'd probably maybe try to get him in the 5th or 6th. That's some ridiculous potential value spot just because he provides like very little peripherals hit wise and blocks and stuff like that. He has 1 hit on the year, by the way. 31 games. He has 1 hit and 2 blocks. So 2 pucks hit him by accident and he like somehow touched a guy. So he provides nothing in banger leagues. And if this guy's getting less than point per game, he is a colossal bust in banger leagues. So
even more so in banger leagues.
He falls to like way later in banger leagues. Like I can't even like I'm like at a loss for words. Like for example, in our point system, he's at a 1.13 point per game. So in comparison to that, Jason Zucker, for example, has a 1.11. So there you go. So
and
Zucker
that's a big,
is the
huge
same
discrepancy in where they were drafted.
Exactly. Yeah. So Zucker is the same tier as Goudreau. And tell me when you drafted Zucker versus Goudreau, and that's how bad his season is. You're going from a guy who is probably not drafted in most leagues to a guy who is drafted in the top 2 rounds.
Yeah,
so that's how much bust Goudreau has been. It's like disgusting. So
hopefully
I think
around.
Yeah, I think he'll turn around points-wise and still hit the 70, 75 points, whatever. But this is very concerning that he can just fall off the map. And it's kind of scary for me because this is not a player I'll be taking in the top 3 rounds kind of thing. So
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. The forwards will blitz some of these guys because we're coming up on our podcasts are like an hour and 10 minutes or something. So Hayes, I know what you're going to say about Hayes. He has 15 points in 30 games. He is on the third line in Philly now.
Oh my God.
That's mostly because of Frost, because Frost is on that top line now and the top power play. Hayes doesn't get any power play time at all. Straight cut forever?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this is what I expected out of Hayes, to be honest. I thought he'd be a half point per game kind of guy, like 40, 45 points. Another huge problem for Hayes is JVR has been a huge bust this year. And stuff like that. So his usual line mates aren't very good. Voracek as well. He's been had a pretty slowish year. So he just was a casualty of that. And if you got these young guys that can play, and why not let them play? So going forward, undraftable for us, the year cut. So
yeah, I agree with
that. It's going to look like a really, really bad signing to Philly, which we all said when it happened for that money. So
yeah,
this is going to be one of those rough.
Let me give you a couple signs. More of the. I'll give you a couple more guys that I think we're just going to say straight cut to. You got the Taves, 15 and 30, first unit power play, first line, all that good stuff. I don't think Taves is draftable. I've said this for a couple years now. I don't want him on my team. I don't think there's any points there to be had.
Yeah, he had that freak. Anyone who has a freak career season and they're like mid-30s is very unlikely to do anything with it. So I, for one, am not surprised that our boy Taser is back to earth. Again, he's got all the tangibles, but fantasy-wise, rest of the season, pretty much cuttable. Unless yep. you have a super, super deep roster on forwards. But yeah, it's a pretty rough pace. The points are going to go to DeBrincat, Strome, what's his face? Kane, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Stuff like that. So,
another guy in the same breath, Ryan Johansson. 17 and almost 30 again. First unit, first power play.
Yeah, this is a guy that I drafted and recently just cut off my team. I made a trade, sort of a buy. I trade draft picks and bought some players. He was the first guy I could get rid of, and I'm very happy to be got rid of him. Supremely talented guy. I just don't understand why he can't get points, and it's just not worth having him and dealing with the stress, honestly. Yeah. Like, for last night, it's the best thing. Like, they scored, like, 6 goals in Nashville. Nothing. Like, nothing. Like, he had, like, a 0 stat line. Like, that's how depressing it is. So,
is this season two? No draft
I'm kind of being biased as an owner, but I feel he's approaching undraftability, which is disgusting for a guy who plays first line center. I don't understand how you get 17 points in 28 games with that team. He's got 3 points in his last 10. And this is a guy who plays like up to 19 and minutes a night with 3 plus power play minutes a night. I don't get it.
I don't like him going forward at all. He's just on the same line as Taves with me. Like, I'm not going to draft those guys.
I don't know if he's just not a good player. If there's an 82 game Nashville player that watches all the games, I would love for you to tell me what's going on with this guy on like the Twitter or the Facebook.
Let us know.
Because I don't get it. I always have high hopes for this guy. And I'm like, why does he not get 85 points this year? Just dishing to Forsberg and stuff like that. First line power play. So. Mm-hmm. I thought I had a huge steal. I was like smirking. I was like, oh, I got Johansson like round 13. I'm like, this is going to be so sick. Like, the value is so there. And he's on the waiver wire. man.
Yeah, exactly. He's on the waiver. So,
like, you think you're so smart, and then you just get like destroyed. So,
okay, I got a couple guys here for you that might be a little more interesting. Jeff Skinner is 18 and 30. So not nearly as hot as he was last year scoring goals. He's on the second line, top power play. And then Vincent Trocheck is 14 and 21, so not quite as many games played. Second line with Hoffman gets second line power play time. Kind of guys that are struggling, expected to have good years, aren't. What do you think rest of the season and then next year?
Skinner's off the Eichel line, which means he's dead. So...
You don't like him rest of the year at all?
No, not really, honestly. Okay. I don't think Buffalo's power... Well, there's enough... I don't think the power play is enough to carry him. Skinner needs Eichel. And the only points are on that team come from the delivery of Eichel. So,
yes.
as you said, he's on the second line. I was a huge fan of Skinner last year because I knew he would play with Eichel because they just acquired him. And I was like, this guy's going to be so good, so good. I even drafted him. And
Yeah, you did.
So... No surprise there. And then
any hope for next year?
No.
Zero.
You draft
him. You said that so like matter of factly just by saying no.
No, it feels bad. I mean, unless Olofsson somehow loses the role, I think you have to keep Reinhardt and Eichel together. I think they play really well.
Yep.
And Olofsson has proved that he could be a trigger man and snipe some goals and do well. That I think it's good for Buffalo to have Skinner on the second line to spread it out. However, it is awful for fantasy because Skinner doesn't really drive the possession or do a lot, really. So he needs someone to make space and let him just shoot, like snipe, which is what he's good at. So yeah, he's going to go from 40 goals to probably like 20 goals just because of one line mate, as tragic as it sounds. So rest of the year for me, pretty much cut unless there's an injury to the top two there. And then obviously he's an immediate must add again.
Yeah.
So, God, I don't know. It's so tragic. It's, I don't know what to do, but,
next year, so, I'd like him late, like in the double digit rounds.
Yeah. I won't feel bad if I draft Skinner like the 15th or something. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Like, he obviously has the potential to score and do these things. However, it's just, yeah, like barring injuries, he's, yeah, second line Buffalo might as well be fourth line. Like, it doesn't matter.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Trocheck, kind of the same vein of thinking. This year, I don't mind keeping him on my team.
Yeah. I'm okay with Trocheck. He still does stuff. He still hits, shoots, blocks, all that kind of good stuff. So, and he has a chance to move up, and his line mates aren't as like brutal. Like
he doesn't need like some exceptional line mates to help him. He just needs a little bit of like average support, and it seems that he's an okay fantasy option.
Yeah, like he's not going to be elite anymore because he loses that top power play spot that happened when Dadonoff and people arrived.
Yeah,
and that's like really in his prime because he was getting like 80 points and all those secondary stats.
I think it was mainly because of Barkov, because they're both centers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his 5-on-5 line is really good. He has Hoffman and Connolly, which are two scorers. So I don't hate that rest of the way. So there's definitely some potential there for points. Unfortunately, that second unit power play with Vetrano, Sorella, Colony, Ekblad is not a feasible way. So if you're okay with him getting 20 more 5-on-5 points the rest of the year, finishing with just around 50 points, I think you could be okay with that with all those banger stats. I think he's still rosterable.
Yeah. I like that.
And then going forward, you just draft them last, like literally. You just
very,
draft
very late.
Five picks of the draft kind of thing.
Especially if Hoffman's on his way out. That's a big part of that line. Like, I would not feel good getting Trocheck. Like, has to be close to 20. We're talking like 19, he's not, 18.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's not returning to 75 points like he was before if he's not on that top unit. If somehow Hoffman goes and they don't pick up another forward, maybe Trocheck pops back into that first spot, and then you got the value draft of the year. But that's, you have to keep an eye on yourself and see what they do with this Hoffman. But as long as those five guys are starting the power play unit, which they will, there's no chance anybody breaks in, then that's fine. Of course, if someone gets injured, maybe long-term, then you could look at Trocheck again. But
Trocheck's the one that usually gets injured.
But exactly. I was gonna say,
he's been injured for a lot of last season and the season before.
Yeah. No, Trocheck, he's a great banger player. You just got to draft him accordingly, and then you won't be depressed that he doesn't get 75 points anymore.
It won't feel, the bust won't hurt so bad if you draft him at a good value. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, last two players I got on here, and this one is a themed one. We got Kako and Hughes.
The first
and second overall picks this last year. Guess how many points they have? Each of them have 12, the exact same. So like, I don't even know rest of season. Long term, these guys are going to be like prominent figures in the NHL. But I feel like we got like a Patrick Laine is the same as like Kako was. So I'm expecting like some weird droughts and then some scoring struggles and stuff like that. Hughes, I feel, is more safe because he's a more rounded player. Mm-hmm. Which one of those do you like going forward for next year?
Oh my God.
They're both on the waivers. Our league does, you get to keep a rookie for free. So if you have a rookie on your roster that you really like, you can keep them at no cost next year. So those are good players and no cost next year for you to keep.
I mean, yeah, long-term, you have to pick Hughes just because of the pedigree, and he's a centerman, and everyone says he plays like Patrick Kane and stuff like that. So, unfortunately, his team is quite terrible. We'll see what kind of forwards he can get adjusted to. I don't know. You have to be a really special player to, like, dominate as a rookie. So, and you need, like, lots of good situations. And, you know, he didn't really get that chance
top
to get,
line,
like, a,
right?
That's the problem, in my opinion, is that like the best rookies are the guys who get like that second, third line shelter kind of thing. And they get to just like totally get confidence and dominate their game and not be like, oh, hey, Hughes, by the way, you're our second best player on our team. So we're going to need you to like, you know, really carry us because we're a terrible team.
Right. And, there's a lot more pressure for sure.
Yes. That's why I think once Hall goes and stuff like that and they get some young guys back, I think it's going to be a lot better for them because it's going to be like, hey, we're okay. We're ready to grow with you. Like, it's not win now kind of thing. So, like, just develop your game, get good. And I think I have no problem. I'm sure Hughes will get 80 to 100 points the next, you know, 5-10 years for sure. Kakko, I'm just, I don't know what to do with him. I couldn't tell you. I don't like the
Are you seeing the comparison with Line A that I'm thinking?
Yeah. I just don't like the centerman on the Rangers. And, like, Zibanejad's great and all, but he's always injured. And if you're not playing with Zibanejad, you're on a, you're dead, really. So it's like an Eichel situation. So I don't really know. And obviously Panarin's going to be attached to the hip there. And then it's just, if he gets that other side, then there's a chance for him. But I guess it's tough. I feel like he's going
to... So I... Going like, forward, I mean, you want the Hughes. You want the more all-around player. You don't want the guy that's scoring. And I just see so much Line A in Kakko.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's going to have a good, okay year, and they're going to be like, yeah, he did a good for a rookie. The next year, they're going to expect him to get 35 goals, like 20 assists. The next year, he's like going to be challenging Ovechkin, like, oh, he's going to get 60 goals. It's like, no, slow down. Like, he's still a rookie. This is what, like, Patrick Laine felt, right?
Yeah.
I saw people in magazines saying he was going to win the Rocket.
Oh, Laine? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're crazy. I mean, everyone and their, like, dog predicted Hughes to win the Calder. And, like, it's already Makar's basically already. So, like, Makar has 28 points. Quinn Hughes, the guy, he has, like, 24 points. Like, all these guys are dominating their...
Yeah.
These rookies, so
and that it's teams that they can grow, right? They don't need to be performing. They don't need to carry the team. So maybe you got onto something there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Quinn Hughes, he plays third pairing, but he gets the first power play unit, so he's got the best of both worlds. He gets to relax.
Yeah,
Makar, he gets to play the top power play unit, so tons of points there, and he's just a special player. I mean, that he can do this. So, it's a rough time out there to be a rookie forward, man. It's not as like free as it once is. Like, you have to be a really outstanding player in the exact right situation to put up points. So,
yeah, the top three picks in the last couple of years have been mediocre. Like, they haven't been like blowing the doors off anyone.
Yeah. Like, Pedersen had an absolute monster rookie season last year, but that's 66 points.
Obviously, and he wasn't even drafted in the top three, right?
Yeah, but he was, you know, these guys are later picks. So I hope this helps you guys with, like, tempering your rookie choices. Like, Hughes was available in our round, like, past the seventh, and I still didn't want him. I wanted him at, like, 100th. Like, I don't want these rookies, man. I don't want Kakos. I don't want this kind of stuff. So I just don't even draft rookies, to be honest, even though we get to keep them, because there's always a rookie on the waiver wire that's going to be, you know, just as good because he has a better situation.
Like Fox, right?
Yeah, like Fox or Olofsson or something. Like, these guys weren't drafted, but now they get to play with Eichel and get super sheltered, not be the center line on your line playing against the top guys every night getting killed. So
when Eichel causes that double coverage, then he's just like wide open every time.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's like, oh, Quinn Hughes, you get to play third pair, sweet. You get to play against trash, but you get to play top power play, you know, with all the studs. So it's like, what else do you want? Like, these are the people you want to be looking for. So
that's the dream. That's what I would want going into the NHL.
Oh, yeah. Of course, as a defenseman, your coach is like, hey, we're giving you no defensive zone starts. So you can play all the offense. You get to play top unit power play with all the fun guys. We're not expecting you to go out there and like Weber everyone. You're not there yet. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Going forward, obviously Hughes, because he will eventually turn into a fantastic player. Kakko, I can't say anything. Like, I don't really know what he can do. I didn't really watch any Rangers games. But, like, if what it sounds like he's going to be, then it sounds like he's going to be, like, a Laine-type player or a Skinner-type player where he gets 35 goals but, like, 15 assists kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
So, again, yeah, long-term, you got to go with the Hughes, because eventually he'll have a young team around him and they can build and he'll get confidence and he sure can be number one and then he can be number two or he'll eventually be number one or something like that and they can just there was too much hype going into New Jersey this year about contending for playoffs because they picked up Subban and all these guys and like they were like kind of in a win now kind of thing.
Yeah, and but, we didn't even talk about Subban on our on our bus show. But I mean, there's so many other guys that could fall into that category too. That's all we got. That's all we got for today. Whole bunch of bus. And these are guys that people are constantly asking questions about, like I said at the beginning. So I thought if we put this all into one episode, people can listen to this and get set, think about what they want to do with some of these players going forward. And then, I, like I said, we're going to do another podcast. It's going to be the midseason awards in about 10 games here. So that might be a week or 2 weeks away from us today, because I think there's only 30 games played today.
Yeah, around 30. Yeah. So 2 weeks will be near Christmas. So we'll have to see what's going on. When does the next Sunday? So at the Sunday, 2 weeks from now would be the 22nd, which would be fine. Because I'm not sure when the
somewhere, Christmas somewhere around that Christmas break, we'll put out a another podcast. Half season.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks everyone for listening. Jesse, do you have any final thoughts about any of these busts or any words of wisdom to leave the people with?
My only thing is I was gonna say is I'm just surprised how many busts there are this year. This is one of the weirdest years that I've been in for fantasy hockey. Every fantasy hockey year has something different. With the amount of scoring that is up this year, I am surprised that there is as many busts as there are. There's still so many that we didn't even mention. Like I said, Kessel's a huge bust. Subban is career-ending bust. There's lots of Flyers that are busts.
Oh, I have so many Kucherov more written down too.
Yeah, Kucherov was approaching bust status. Like, yes, he's point per game, but that's super bust status for how you draft first overall.
I have like Case written down, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Dumba. Yeah, I have a lot of guys on there that we didn't talk about, but I mean, there's so many this year. And that just means like you had to be really diligent on the waiver wire and like free agents, and you had to pick up those guys that were sparkling for like a couple weeks to weather some of these busts.
Like, oh man, I could just go on forever. Like Truba's been a bust up until like sort of a little bit lately.
He's been turning it around, but yeah, not
like DeBrincat has been a bust. Like after 40 goals, he's on pace for like maybe 30 at max.
Yeah. Butcher. Remember everyone said Butcher was going to be the next defenseman in New Jersey. And
same thing. Huge bust. Larkin's been a massive bust this year and he was drafted super high.
Niederreiter. I liked Niederreiter early, but he did nothing.
Yeah, points been a bust lately. 21 points in 24 games is not good enough for a guy you spent a top two pick on. Like Mark Stone has been a bust with 24 points in 31 games.
Now you're starting to split hairs. You're starting to get into the guys that are still serviceable.
Well, but I mean, like based on draft position, they're busts.
Yes,
right. I mean,
exactly.
Stone went in the third round in our league, and there's guys that are done way better than a guy who has 24 points. So it's crazy. I didn't think hockey would be this volatile, like football style, but this is what it feels like to me. Like this is very NFL.
Yeah, it does. Gusev, remember we talked up Gusev at the year? He's been
oh my god, there's so many. So like hit us with all the busts you got and stuff like that. Hopefully the midseason awards is going to be a more positive episode, obviously, because we're going to be talking about players that are performing well.
We're just so depressed after this episode. I got a big bowl of ice cream here I'm going to eat after.
No, seriously. Like, it's just, I look at my team. I look at the guys. It's so sad. Man.
And how many
so
of these guys are on my active rosters right now?
I'm like, oh.
Pavelski, Stastny.
Yeah, Stastny's been a huge bust. Pavelski.
Little. There's so many. Anyways, that's all we got for today. Jesse, your throat's going. I can hear it.
Yeah, I got nothing left.
The last couple words you can say. I was going to leave everyone with my backup quote. You're a backup goalie before you're a starter.
No, every starter is a backup or starts as or something. I forget what you said. It was so good.
Yeah, every starter is a backup first.
Yeah, every starter starts as a backup. So, just, stay positive, keep grinding away, keep your chin up, keep your stick on the ice, as they say, and all things will be good in time. But yeah, that is our bust episode. Thanks for, like you said, listening. Hit us up, of course, with more players and more things you'd like to see. And going forward, we will focus on that. We said we had some feedback about going less stats and just more talking. And so that's essentially what we try to do with this episode. Not grinding.
We're going to keep them light with like a little more discussion, a little less stats.
Yeah, so exactly. It'll be more talking about what we think and more personal feel and opinion versus their coursey. So,
because everyone else can look at the stats, right? You can find your stats on the score.
It's all there.
Yeah. So we want to talk about kind of, feelings.
Exactly.
Feelings a little more and what they look like on the ice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got Christmas parties coming up. Be safe. Don't drink and drive, all that fun stuff. And we will have another podcast for you come the Christmas break. Thanks for listening. Yeah.
If we don't catch you guys before Christmas, Merry Christmas. And if not, then of course we'll see you before as well.
Well, we won't see you, but we'll talk to you.
Yeah. Well, you know.
All right. See you later.